One time Rabbi Nathan came to Rabbeinu and asked him if he should talk to people. Haim ani tzarich ledaber im bnei adam, if I should talk to people. So Rabbeinu answered to him, yes, daber, you should talk to them. So then Rabbi Nathan asked him, but what will I tell him? What will I tell them? Means that Rabbi Nathan asked him, how I'm going to know what they need to hear? Sometimes you give hitchazkut, you give only smiles and you're telling him everything's alright, everything's okay, but that man is already asleep. So you're just giving him another dose of sleeping drugs. So he's just going to sleep even longer. And sometimes you're saying to someone, you know what's going to be with you in Judgment Day, you have to take yourself seriously, and that poor guy is chasing himself for years and just killed him, last stabbing. So what are you going to do? So Rabbi Nathan, he was afraid to talk to people, so he asked Rabbeinu HaKadosh, what I'm going to tell them? So Rabbeinu told them, so Rabbeinu answered to him, what do you care about that? Ma achpat lecha? What do you care what you're going to tell them? And Rabbi Nathan said, and I understood his meaning, I realized what he wanted to tell me, that actually, even if you don't know if you're working, if you're not working, if it's happening or not happening, it does. And you can understand actually that why it's helping, even if you're saying something that it's the opposite than the thing that the man was supposed to receive, why still it works? Because the words are words of Rabbeinu. The words are not your words. When you're talking to him, you need to know for sure, to throw your wisdom, to throw your brain, to know for sure that those are words of Rabbeinu. And Rabbeinu gonna make it. Rabbeinu gonna make it happen with him. Your job is just to be a mouth. You don't have a job to be a brain, to have a sechel. You don't have a sechel. Rabbi Nathan, he said, why I achieved more than all of the rest of the students of Rabbeinu? Because I threw away my wisdom more than all of the students of Rabbeinu. One of the guys here from class yesterday told me that when he's doing it with the dude, sometimes he feels that 1 hour is not enough for him. He's talking for 1 hour and 15 minutes, and after it, once in a while, 1 hour and a half. I told him it's very good. And in the evening, I wanted to tell him that if 1 hour and a half is not enough for you, so you can do six. This is the solution. Sometimes we have inside of ourselves such a strong will to connect ourselves to Hashem Yitbarach, and we don't know how to do that. Hashem is over there and we are here. Hashem is spiritual and we're physical. But one time, the Rabbi Eliezer Shlomo Shik, the Maharosh, the Tzaddik from Yavniel, he said that when he was young, he had a question. How can it be that the righteous people were climbing to heaven when they're still alive? When he was young. He said that when people are dying, okay, you can understand, they're going to heaven. When they're alive, they're here. When they're dying, they're going to heaven. He could understand that. But how righteous people, like Baal Shem Tov, the Noam Elimelech, even Moshe Rabbeinu, are going, climbing to heaven and coming back, how it can be? He couldn't understand that. But when he connected to Breslev, he realized that by Hitbodedut, this was his answer. He said that by Hitbodedut, you're not climbing to heaven, you're bringing heaven to here. When you're talking to Hashem Yitbarach, it's heaven. This is it. Rabbeinu is saying, when a man knows that all, kol me'orotav, all of his actions, everything that happens to him all day long, it's coming from a good reason, means that he's got a complete faith. Rabbeinu is saying, Zot abchina ime'en olam haba. That aspect, it's a certain way of the world to come. It's like the world to come. What it means? that when you live with Hashem Yitbarach, it's like that you live in the world to come. And how you can reach that level of knowing that everything that happens to you is coming from Hashem, that it's all good. Rabbeinu is explaining in the Torah, only by Hitbodedut. Why only by Hitbodedut? Because what actually we're doing in Hitbodedut? When you're doing Hitbodedut, you're reviewing, you're checking all of your day. All of the times that you forgot Hashem Yitbarach in the day, you're bringing it up back in the Hitbodedut. You're saying to Hashem Yitbarach, Hashem, I'm sorry that in the morning when I opened my eyes, I wasn't thinking immediately about you. And the next thing that I had in my mind, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm sorry to say, it wasn't also you. So I'm doing tshuva on that. And then you're praying on Shacharit and you're doing tshuva, Hashem, I distracted my thoughts from you. I didn't have the right intention in the Shema, in the Shemona Esrei, in Psukei Dezimra. I wasn't praising you like I should have been. So you're bringing back all of your day back to Hashem Yitbarach. So when you're doing Hitbodedut, you're coming to that place that you know that everything is coming from Hashem. And then you can realize that it's all for the good. So actually the only way to have a complete faith, to know that it's all good, and it means also to live in the world to come, can happen only by Hitbodedut. So if you have such a strong desire to connect yourself to Hashem Yitbarach and to feel like you satisfy yourself and you're alive and you know what to do with everything, you have to spend your life in Hitbodedut. Like the Gemara is saying, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Levai v'itpalel Adam kol hayom kulo. I wish that the man gonna pray all day long. This is the tikkun. The tikkun is that the moon gonna be in the size, gonna illuminate like the sun. And the moon, this is the faith, this is the prayer. And the sun, this is the wisdom, this is the Torah. Today the Torah is illuminating very strong. You learn a page of Gemara, you learn Zikutei Moharan, you enjoy that limud, you learn few halachot, you feel good with yourself. You said, alright, I've done something with my life. Even if you're gonna go to do 6 hours, you're going to come back from the field so low, so humble. There is nothing that's going to save you today from humility when you're praying. That it's a good thing. But actually, to feel satisfaction from tefillah today, it's something very, 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 very hard. Why? Because the moon is small. Kadosh Baruch Hu is hiding that light of satisfying from tefillah. A man should pray and learn Torah in an equal way. Means you're learning 6 hours in yeshiva. Actually, so if this is your level, you should pray for 6 hours in Bodedut. 3 hours, 3 Shmona Esrei, 1 hour every Shmona Esrei, and then another 3 hours in the field to do it Bodedut, a little bit of it Bodedut also in that day. Because you learned a little bit of Torah, only 6 hours Torah. You were not sitting and learning 12 hours Torah. So it's very, very hard. For us it's very, very hard. But this is the tikkun, this is the salvation. David HaMelech said, Va'ani tefillah. All of my Ishu Rabbeinu said, Kol ha'inyan sheli hu rak tefillah. This is why also there is all of that disagreement, the argument about Breslev. Because Breslev are talking about tefillah. Breslev are pushing everyone to do it Bodedut. And on that there are arguments. Because the Bodedut, immediately when you're going to start doing it Bodedut, you're going to feel that you're zero. You cannot be arrogant anymore when you're doing it Bodedut. Hashem is helping you to confront, to see, to realize where you're standing, what's your real level. When you're talking to Hashem, this is it. Dover shkarim lo ikon leneged enai. You cannot stand up in front of Hashem and to lie in the Bodedut. You cannot. You will not. It's not going to hold. It's not going to be. If you're going to the field and you're talking, means that the truth is going to come out. You're going to see the truth. And the truth is that all of us were very, very far. And even Admorim are very, very far. I came to Rav Shalom a few days ago and I asked him if the reason that I hate lies so much is because that I'm a liar also. Maybe this is the reason that when I see people lying, I cannot stand it. It's very hard for me. So I asked him, maybe I'm defected in that attribute also, in that midah. And this is why that it's bothering me, because, you know, a lot of times you're blaming people on your own lackings. So I asked him that. So he told me the opposite. The verse is saying, Dvar Sheker is not tzaddik. The one that hates lies is righteous. And Adraba, the one that is a liar, he likes lies. He enjoys them. He's laughing from jokes of liars. He's enjoying that. It doesn't bother him very much. And then I asked him, so Rav, so why you let a lot of liars to surround you, to be close to you? If really righteous people don't like lies, so why are there so many liars surrounding us? So he told me, I don't look at it from that point of view. I see that those people that are liars are just very low people and very poor people, that they don't have faith in Hashem Yitbarach. And they're busy with nonsense, and I have rachmanut on them, and mercy on them, and I'm praying on them that they're going to go out from. So he's got rachmanut. The power of speech, the power of two people can go to the field every day together. Both of them going to do 6 hours it, but they do it every day. 3 hours it, but they do it. 2 hours, they're going to do the same. One of them going to develop very, very fast, going to grow. And one of them, mamash, will not going to achieve almost nothing in the field every day. And he will not going to achieve nothing. Why? Because one is a liar and one is a man of truth. One is working hard in the field to work on himself, to fix himself, to talk to Hashem really like you're talking to your best friend, really, to judge yourself, to look, to take responsibility. And the other one is standing in the field and saying, Hashem, I need to do 1 hour, alright, let it finish somehow. Bezrat Hashem, Moshe Olam, let me guard my eyes, let me guard my eyes, let me guard my eyes, please, that I'm going to have shalom bayit, that I'm going to be happy, and then... And then he's wandering and going and looking at trees, at the sky, clouds, birds. Who is he doing it? But it over there also. And he's full with fears and anxieties, and he's not solving nothing. He's just... It's good to waste your time in the field, but it's better than in front of the plasma screen. But he's wasting his time. He's not taking advantage of what that he really can achieve in the field. The gift in the field, this is it. When you're in the field, Amelech Basadeh, you're with Hashem. This is it. Now you just collect diamonds and diamonds. If you have an issue that really you need to solve, like Rabbeinu said in Torah 52, you need to go in the middle of the night, to go to a quiet place and to talk to Hashem Yitbarach. Now it's winter time. Everyone can go out from the house at 9. Everyone. You let your wife, you support your wife, you work with her, you help with the kids. 9, this is it. 10, this is it. You can be awake for 3 hours easily, 4 hours easily. Go out, go for 2 hours, for 3 hours. Rabbeinu called the nights of the winter the golden nights. He said what you can achieve in a winter night, a long winter night, is equal to what that you can achieve in the night of Yom Kippur. In the night of Yom Kippur, how much can you achieve? How much you can achieve in every winter night? And it's written that when it's snowing, when there is snow, mamash, the salvations are a lot bigger. To do it bodedut when it's snow, mamash, it's huge bodedut. I read it yesterday. It's amazing what that we can achieve. If there is someone that is doing learning Torah when other people are not learning, so he's receiving reward that all of their reward he's receiving it because he was the only one that was learning. It means there is a certain 100% of reward that's going to be divided corresponding to the number of people that are learning in that hour. So if there is only him or maybe only few, so they're going to achieve a lot more. This is why the righteous people are achieving so much, because they're mamash learning in hours that no one is learning, and they have a merit. Also in Yidbodadut it's like that. In those nights, when no one is outside, it's cold, and no one is there, and no one is doing tshuva, and everyone are snoring, everyone are eating, or I don't know what's stuck in front of the televisions or nonsense, and you are outside looking for Hashem Yitbarach and talking to Hashem Yitbarach, it's amazing. In those moments, mamash, you're collecting diamonds, putting them, mamash, in your bank account, in your pockets, mamash. You receive faith like that, that it's amazing. Something that will never gonna leave you. Like Rav Shalom said, every time that you're doing 6 hours, except of the salvation that you're gonna receive from the 6 hours, you're climbing to a new level of faith that's gonna walk with you forever. Every time that you're doing 6 hours, it's what they do. And 6 hours, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's not that you need to sweat in those 6 hours. You're going at 8 p.m. until 2. Everyone can do that. If you have Siyata Dishmaya, you can go at 6. At 12, you're finished. It's not that hard. People are saying, what? I'm going to do Sha'ah. I'm going to do 6. It's nonsense. You just don't want. Every day, you're spending 24 hours on other things. So you cannot spend 6 one time. Once a week. Our friend Yaakov from class, that now they had, Baruch Hashem, Sha'a Tova, a baby boy. More than 7 years, they didn't have children. He came to the yeshiva. He heard conversations about 6 hours Yidvodadut that he never heard before. He was doing 1 hour Yidvodadut once in a while. He's Hasid Breslev, he knows Breslev's issues, but he never learned mamash like that, to do Yidvodadut and to do 6 hours. And here, in this class, he learned to do 6 hours, and he made more than 10 times 6 hours in what they do. And after less than 2 years, now they're Baruch Hashem, hugging a baby boy, Israel Baruch. Harav was Sandak, and miracles happened to him, to his wife, miracles. And it's mamash, it's just, Hashem wants each and every one of us to have salvations in our lives, everyone to his issues. One needs money, one needs a house, one needs his children to go in the right way, one needs to work on his midot, to achieve kedusha, to be able to guard his eyes. To guard the eyes, this is something that you can pray and pray and pray and pray, and you're going and praying with open eyes, and you're going for days, can pray on it for hours, and you don't realize the block that we have from mamash that is stopping us from guarding our eyes. It's huge. We have to spend years on that. Years on praying on that until that Hashem is going to have mercy on us and going to close our eyes. We're going all day long like tourists, and we can talk about it and I can teach about it and going with my eyes open. Cannot be. We need to take responsibility on ourselves. Every bad eyesight, every woman, Rav Shalom said, you're going to be punished in heaven, in the world to come. Even on a woman 100 years old, if you saw her once. A woman 100 years old walking in the street, you saw her, you're going to be punished on that. It's a riyah surah. You're not allowed. There is no permission to look at women. There is no permission to do that. There is a story in the Gemara that there was one woman that she went to the mikveh, she went out, she saw an impure animal. She went back to the mikveh. She went out, she saw another impure animal.
Not kosher
animal. And then again and again and again. I think 100 times, if I'm not wrong.
Wow.
100 times until that she was able to go off home, and she had a very holy baby boy because of that Mesirut Nefesh. But look, her understanding that if she saw something unkosher, she haven't touched that animal, she haven't done nothing, she haven't done. She's walking back, she saw a cat walk crossing the street, she saw a dog, something. And Mesirut Nefesh, why? Because she understands the damage that it causes when you see something bad. The eyes is the most, how you say, mishuklelet?
Complex
camera that exists in the world. It's taking all, it's swallowing all of the details, and you have those pictures inside your brain. This is it. It's inside your machine, your software. You have it inside. Everything that you saw is inside. Everything, and you cannot erase it. You cannot. It's in your hard disk. This is it. Only in the world to come, Sof Davar HaKol Nishma. They're going to open everything. all of the pictures going to be open, all of the sounds, all of the smells, everything you have in your treasure, in your bank. You cannot take it out. You saw something? This is it. It's inside. It's going to come back to you in your dreams, in your thoughts, when you're going to be with your wife, when you're going to work on something, when you're going to have to concentrate. One day, have a bug. One day it's going to jump. One day. So we already have a lot to take care of. So now to add more and more and more. So we cannot close our eyes. Close your eyes. I cannot. But you have to. But I won't. So lefachot, let's pray on it. Let's invest prayers in it. Let's really stand on the truth. Not gonna make avoid from his responsibility, like everything is okay. Let's not ignore. We have a problem. It's Rabisha al Araim. The main Ikar of it's Rabisha al Araim. The main Yetzirah. The main Yetzirah is on that lust for women. And in the Zohar Kadosh it's written, Rav Shalom told us that he heard from Rav Cheshim that he said from Zohar Kadosh that the Yetzirah doesn't have no permission to penetrate into the man from no place else except from the eyes. You still have Yetzirah because your eyes are open. One of the Avrichim asked Rav Shalom, Avrichim from our class, asked Rav Shalom in Tveria when we were with him last year, maybe it was over 1 year, 1 year and a half almost. Yes, Tarav, but Tarav, I'm trying, I'm watching my eyes, guarding my eyes, and still I have Yetzirah inside. Rav Shalom told him, it's not true. If you're closing your eyes 100%, you don't have Yetzirah anymore. This is it. You need to be strong to close your eyes. No one is saying that it's not hard, that it's not hard. It requires a lot of tefillot. So spend your time. Rabbeinu is saying that if a man is going to come to the world to come, and he's going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, Ribono Shel Olam, I learned a lot of Torah, I was doing long hours of Itbodeduyot, I was doing Hafatzah, I was doing amazing things, but he haven't fixed his Kedusha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell him, everything that you brought is wonderful, but the main part you lost. Ikar chaser min ha-sefer. The main part of the book you lack of. It's Kedusha. And if you're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you fixed your Kedusha, that you're a holy man, and you're saying, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, I wasn't learning enough, I wasn't praying enough, I wasn't doing Hafatzah enough, but you're holy, he's going to tell you, but Baruch Hashem, the main thing you achieved. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani, a man, a Jew, have to be holy. Holy means separated, clean, cool. That he doesn't have that Yetzirah burning inside. That Yetzirah from inside, this is what that ruins your Shalom Bayit. This is what that ruins your Chinuch Yeladim, education of children. This is what that occupies you from learning, from being a Talmid Chacham. What that holds you back from doing long Hitbodeduyot, really to clean all of your Ta'avot. Ikar Adeitz Rabisha Al Araim, this is the main Ta'ava, the main Yetzirah, main fire. That lit the rest of the fires of anger coming only from that. Sadness is coming only from that. The main Yetzirah started when the snake saw Adam Bechava in a way that he shouldn't have. They weren't modest and he looked at them when they were together, and that's how the world started to go down and down and down and down and down. And he had a lust, a desire to Chava. And this is all started from that lust, from that desire. And we all contaminated in that. And until that we're going to work for years on years on years on years on years, each and every one have a different work on that, different effort. But every one of us have to spend thousands of hours praying on that issue. Thousands of hours spending on that issue. And not to be crazy, no, need to be holy, need to guard my eyes. No, Yetzirah is playing also that game. You need to spend every day half an hour praying on that, and once in a while, few hours, once a week, few hours. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, that I'm going to be able to respect my wife, When you need your wife, when you have lust to your wife, you cannot respect her. A man cannot do two things in one time. If you have a need, if you have a lust, this is it. You lost it. You cannot control yourself to love her, to support her, to be there for her. You need things for yourself right now. Like a hungry man. You can talk with a hungry man and to explain to him that he needs to donate from his food. He cannot hear you. Your words are not entering into his mind at all. Because his heart, his mind is occupied. When you have a lust, you have fire inside of your heart. Your heart is contaminated. Noef isha chasar lev. A man with lust for women, he doesn't have a heart. Means that his heart, he's been burned. This is it. So you cannot learn Torah because you don't have a heart. How are you going to understand? Lev mevin, the heart understands. You don't have a heart. You cannot pray because you don't care, because you don't have a heart. Your children, everyone just makes you angry. Everyone just makes you sad. Why? Because you have mercy on yourself. Because you're busy on satisfying yourself. Because you don't have a heart. You don't care about your wife. You don't care about your children. You're too afraid of everything. You feel that everything is chasing after you. Everyone is threatening you. It's all because of that lust. When you have a heart, you're with Hashem. When you're with Hashem, you're not afraid of no one. The damage of one time zera lebatala, in every time that a man takes out chas shalom, the zera lebatala, in every seed, there is millions, thousands of neshamot, of souls over there. And if you took out zera lebatala, chas shalom, even accidentally, even in a mistake, you murdered them. On that, the verse is saying, Yedechem damim aleu, your hands are full with blood. Have rachmanut on those neshamot. Those neshamot are not different than me and you. Those are neshamot. That if we would do that right, it could be children. They were alive. And now it's not only that they're died. They're not dead. They've been kidnapped to darkness. They've been forced now to do horrible things. They've been used under the forces of darkness, of Yetzer Hara. And alright, you have such yetzerah that you don't know how to work on yourself, that you don't know how to clean yourself, that you don't know how to go out from those lusts and desires. We understand that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu understand that. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you to wake up this morning, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yachpotz b'mot hamet. He doesn't want to kill the dead man. He doesn't want to kill the rasha, the sinner. Ki im b'shuvo midarko v'chaya, just that he's gonna do tshuva and gonna leave. She wants you to confess to the tshuva, to pray on it, and you're going to live. What it means you're going to live? That you're going to have faith. That you're going to go back to faith. That you're going to go back to believe that only Hashem can help you. When you're trying to guard your brit, when you're trying to be holy, you're not on the right way. Only when you're going to realize that you cannot do that, that it's too strong for you, that it's Rosh El Adam, want to kill the man every day, and without the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot conquer that Yetzirah. Only when you're going to surrender and say to Hashem Yitbarach, I cannot do that alone. Help me, it's too strong for me. Too strong for me. Only then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and help you. Meanwhile, you have that imagination that soon you're going to be holy and you're working on that and you're praying on that daily and you're not humble at all. You feel that you're conquered Yetzirah. It's imagination. Tanaim said that they cannot fight with the Yetzirah because he's flesh and bones and the Yetzirah is made out of fire. You can conquer him, you can win only when you're canceling yourself to Hashem. If it's one on one, he's bigger than you. The Yetzer Hara, it's the biggest angel in heaven. It's the biggest angel of them all. This is what Rabbi Yehuda Ptaya said. It's the biggest angel of all angels in heaven. The most important one. He's doing a huge job for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's working hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's got a lot of job. He's a messenger of Hashem to do the will, to keep the will of Hashem in the world. To separate between good and bad. to separate, that bad will not going to be able to damage good. So he's separating, he's creating separation. Our job is to cancel ourselves to good. But we need to stand in that test to purify ourselves, to separate ourselves from lust and desires. Only when you're humble, only when you realize I don't have no powers to achieve nothing in my life. Just only if Harav gonna pray on me. Just only if Harav. I remember once I came to Harav Shalom and I talked to him about my tefillot, my itbodedut. And I told him, Harav, you know how my itbodedut looks like? It's horrible, mamash. I'm doing every day 1 hour, but it's so low, so low. So he told me, it doesn't matter. I'm rising your tefillot. Ani ma'ale et tefillot shelcha. Now, if someone brings a needle to the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu using it in the Mishkan, now you have a needle in the Mishkan, it's an eternal success. But if you're bringing diamonds and gold and you want to build in your own Mishkan, and not to hand it to Moshe Rabbeinu, you just worship idols. It's just an Avodah Zarah, it's not a Mishkan at all. I told you that even if a man in this generation is going to go and spend hours of to be Mare de Chushbana, like the Shita of the Chazon Ish, like the Shita of the Chafetz Chaim, like the Shita of the Zohar Kadosh, he will not going to progress in his tshuva. Only when he's going to be humble to connect himself to Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev. Only then. Only when he's going to be humble enough to surrender. To surrender to real righteous people that are leading this generation, only then you're going to be able. Even if you're mamash going to do it, but the dude. But he disagrees with Rabbeinu HaKadosh, you're not going to grow. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he's the Siyata Dishmai of the generation. It's written in Likutei Moharan. The righteous man, he is the Siyata Dishmaya. He's the Shechina HaKadosha. He's the Siyata Dishmaya. There was one rabbi that was disagree with Rabbeinu, and he was arguing on Breslev and saying bad things on Breslev. And one day he opened a shchita, a hechsher of shchita. Rav Shalom said not to buy from him, not to buy. We asked him why. He said if he argues with Rabbeinu, there is no doubt that his meat is treif. He cannot have siyata dishmaya. Really, to have kosher meat, you have to have siyata dishmaya. If you're fighting with the source of Siyata Dishmaya, with the Siyata Dishmaya itself, how can you have Siyata Dishmaya? He's laughing at Rabbeinu in his classes. He cannot have Siyata Dishmaya. All of his meat is safe. Not allowed to eat from his meat. I have to humble ourselves and to accept there is someone bigger than me. There is someone so holy. When Rabbi David Chaim Stern, the hidden tzaddik, was here, He's one of the Avot Beidin of the Beidin of Rav Vosner in Bnei Brak. When he came here to the Chanukat Bayit of the Yeshiva, he said, "Until I saw Rav Shalom Arush, I never knew that a Baal Tshuva can reach that level. I never knew. He couldn't realize that a Baal Tshuva can achieve a level like that. To clean himself so much." Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich said to Rabbi Aaron, his helper, "You ever saw an angel?" He told him no. He said, "Look on Rav Shalom Arush. This is Malach Hashem Tzvakot. This is an angel, Malach Hashem Tzvakot." Rabbi Aaron said, "I never heard Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich talking like that on a man. Never." He said, "You could see Mekubalim, old people with long white beard coming to the house of Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich. He said that you would shake and beg that they're going to bless you. Old Talmidei Chachamim and Mekubalim came to him." He said he was screaming at them and insulting them, saying to him, "You're Noef, Ganav, Rasha, Rotzeach," and insulting them and tearing them to parts. And he said, Rav Shalom was receiving compliments from Rav Leibovich, compliments and compliments. He said he also humiliated him a few times. But most of the time, he was accepting him. You know why? They asked, one of the students here asked one of the people that were very close to Rav Yehuda Zev Leibovich, who was the student of Rav Leibovich that achieved more than the rest, more than everyone else? He told him, Rav Shalom. I think it was Rav Stavsky. I think Rav Stavsky. I think, I'm not sure. They asked him, who is the student that achieved the most from Rav Leibovich? He said, Rav Shalom. He asked him why. So he told him, because Rav Shalom came with vessels. He came so humble with years of tefillot. Like I told you yesterday, he was praying, or 2 days ago, he was praying on meeting the righteous holy and the hidden tzaddikim, hidden righteous people, for years before that he met them. For years. For years. He was receiving insultings and humiliations in the yeshiva that he was learning in Shuvu Banim. Everyone disagreed with him. And he went out from there and he was all alone, and closed the door for him to connect himself to Rav Berland that he loves him so much. And so many things, so many difficulties he went through in his life, that he was working through those difficulties to accept it with love and to give, to justify Hashem on everything. He said, all of the books, all of those gardens, he said, I wrote them with tears. They've been written with tears. All of those books been written in the field out of huge hard effort, private effort. The book Garden of Peace, the wife of Arab, the Rebbetzin, she testified, she said, I'm testifying that you kept every word that is written in that book. If we're going to read that book thousands of times and we're going to know it by heart, we're not going to keep it. And we know that. But this book is him. This book is him. This is Arab Shalom. Garden of Faith, it's him. And it's not even a drop in the sea. A drop in the sea from what that he's got. It's not even a drop in the sea. A drop in the sea from the wisdom that he's got inside. Rabbeinu said on Likutei Moharan that it's the psolet of psolet of psolet. How do you say psolet?
Waste.
Waste of waste of waste from his Torah. In Likutei Moharan, there are Torah that Rabbeinu wrote before that he was in Eretz Yisrael. He said he is embarrassed that they're going to be written. You cannot see the difference? Never. You're going to see those Torah. You say, wow, Rabbeinu was embarrassed of the Torah that he achieved before he was in Eretz Yisrael. And he was in Eretz Yisrael when he was 20. It all depends in Kedusha, all of that issue of Kedusha, to take it very seriously, Mamash, to work about it, everyone. The only way of working on it, it's in the field, it's in tefillot. Not with your wife, not with conversations with your wife, not to be more modest and to have advice for your wife, to insult her, to kill her. The only effort is to go to the field and to beg to Hashem Yitzbarach, to tell you what you should do, how you're going to work on yourself, how you're going to do that you're going to succeed, how he going to bring you, give you Siyata Dishmaya, how the righteous people are going to give, be with you when you need them, like that Yosef had Yaakov with him when he needed him. What's the effort that you should do? How you're going to understand ways, tricks, how to guard your eyes? I told you one amazing advice. If now you decide that you're going to guard your eyes from now and on, you're not going to make it. It's going to be too heavy for you. To live another 30, 50, 60 years with your eyes closed, it's too heavy. No one can take that. But to walk now from this yeshiva to your house, to the apartment, to the bus, to the train station, this is something that you can do. You can do 2 minutes, 1 minute to cross the street with your eyes, mamash, on the floor, mamash, just to cross the street. This is something that you can do. When you're going to get to the train, decide that now you're guarding your eyes only in the time that you're driving. Now, in that drive, you're closing your eyes. You're not opening 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, even 1 hour. You can make it. You can do that. And then after it, say to yourself, alright, just from now, until the house, this is it. In the house, I'm not guarding my eyes. This is it. This is how you're going to make it. This is how you're going to find the power to do that. And if you're not praying while you're doing it, if you're just sitting and closing your eyes like that, you're not going to be able to do that also. Just call ayom misichati all day long to say, please Hashem, help me, give me the power. When Rav Shalom asked Rabbi Yaakov Mutzafi, that he was his rabbi that gave him the asmacha, hasmichoto to be a dayan, Rabbi Yaakov Mutzafi, Rav Shalom asked him if he's allowed to wear his tzitzit outside and not inside. Rav Shalom, he was Sfaradi back then, Rav Shalom. And he asked Rav Mutzafi if he's allowed to wear the tzitzit outside or inside. Rav Yaakov Mutzafi thought about it a little bit and told him, you allow because you're a Baal Tshuva, and hold your tzitzit in your hand while you're walking in the street, and it's going to give you the strength to guard your eyes. Zat Hashem, that you want to follow the righteous people forever and ever. And